Stress is a good thing. Sometimes when you have to give a speech and you're stressed, you're under stress about giving the speech, that your body begins to do things and you feel the pressure of stress. And so you out of stress, you give this speech and it causes you to rise to the occasion. It causes you to do your best. Stress is a good thing when you study for a final exam and you feel that stress come upon you, and that stress comes on you and it causes you to study and it causes you to get that stuff, that information down, so that you can do well on the test.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of Stressed to Kill from our series, Let's Get Personal About Your Issues. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Stressed to Kill from our series, Let's Get Personal About Your Issues.
Title of my message today is Stressed to Kill. We all have heard the term when somebody gets dressed up and they get sharp. We've said that they are dressed to kill. But this morning, we're going to talk about being stressed to kill. Because if you don't take control of your stress, and you don't get your stress, get a handle on your stress, that it will kill you. It will take you out of this world before you plan on leaving. The next slide, if you'll put that up, I like this quote here. You don't get ulcers from what you eat. You get them from what's eating you. You don't get ulcers from what you eat. You get them from what's eating you. What is stress? Stress is tension that is placed upon an object when it is stretched. When something is stretched, if you take a rope or a rubber band, whatever it might be, and you stretch it and you put that tension on it, that's what stress is. Everybody at some point in time in life experiences stress. It's our physical, our mental, or our emotional response to something that happens in our life. Like anger, stress, when it comes to our lives, our body, our nervous system releases hormones into our body, causing our heart to beat faster, causing our body to become tense, causing our blood pressure to rise. And even in some instances, we begin to increase our breathing. And that's what's known as stress. And that's what happens to your body whenever stress comes, and an event that causes stress into your life. That's what happens. Now, stress can be good or stress can be bad. Well, what is good stress? Well, when these hormones are released, And it causes you to rise to the occasion, to do the best that you can, then that's good stress. When an athlete has to, maybe in basketball, has the free throw that's going to win the game, he's under a lot of what? Under a lot of stress. You know, the whole game is dependent on him. That's stress. And so his body begins to react to that. And so he has to bring that stress under control and what? Sink the shot. Stress is a good thing. Sometimes when you have to give a speech and you're stressed, you're under stress about giving the speech, that your body begins to do things and you feel the pressure of stress. And so you out of stress, you give this speech. And it causes you to rise to the occasion. It causes you to do your best. Stress is a good thing when you study for a final exam and you feel that stress come upon you And that stress comes on you, and it causes you to study, and it causes you to get that stuff, that information down, so that you can do well on the test. Stress is a good thing. On the other hand, stress can be very bad, and this is kind of the focus of our message today. And, you know, some people are like that Timex watch, right? They can, when stress comes their way, they can take a licking and keep on ticking. But other people, when stress comes their way, they can't handle it. And so it begins to have negative effects upon them because they don't know how to handle stress. And there are many of you sitting here today, all of us, no matter who you are today sitting here, you're going to have some kind of stress in your life. Now, what makes a difference between the person whose stress overwhelms them and the person who can handle stress? It's a matter of the resources and the coping mechanisms that you have. And some people here today, you're dealing with stress and you're stressed out. And it's driving you in the ground. It's overtaking your life because you don't have the resources that you need to be able to deal with it. And so today we want to talk about what are those resources and how can I deal with stress in my life. In the scripture, we have a biblical illustration of stress. And that biblical illustration of stress is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And notice, if you would, let's go back to that passage in Luke. Now, you're talking about stress. Can you imagine if you were responsible for dying on the cross for the sins of every human being that ever walked across the face of this earth? And you have that responsibility. Now, that's stress. That's some kind of stress right there, brothers and sisters. So you think you got stress in your life? Think about Jesus. Now, even though he was God, he was still human. And he had human emotions. He had human feelings. He dealt with things as a human being also. And so stress was just as real to him as it is to anybody else. And we see here in the last week of his life, that's why I say that, you know, when you look at the triumphal entry, you know, Jesus wasn't riding in as a king. He knew what he was going to do. He knew that he was coming in to offer his life as the Lamb of God to be sacrificed for the sins of the world. And so actually, if you go back and study the history of what the day that Jesus rode in to the city, it was actually the same day that they selected the lambs to be slaughtered for the Passover. And so Jesus didn't ride in, and I keep saying this because I want you to get it. He didn't ride in as a king. He rode in to offer himself as a sacrificial lamb. Verse 39, and when he came out, he went as he was accustomed in Luke 22 to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that you enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if you be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Now look at this. And being at peace and being joyful. And being happy. No, it doesn't say any of that. What does it say? And being in agony. In agony. Boy, that's some kind of stress right there. Being in agony. He was being stretched. The tension was put on his life, being in agony, that he prayed more earnestly. And look at this. His sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. This condition is known as hematidrosis. And this is actually where a person is under so much stress and under so much tension and under so much pressure that blood vessels in their body pop. and they begin to mix with the sweat. And so Jesus had this condition happen in his body, and his the vessels popped, and now instead of him sweating sweat like everybody else, he's sweating this blood through his body because of the stress that he's under. So we can see just from the life of Jesus Christ that stress can take a toll on your body. Just look at this. Look at this passage right here. Jesus Christ, look at the toll that stress played on his body. And some of you, that you've got this stress, and like I said, stress is a good thing, because stress comes in our body to help us rise to the occasion. And stress is only meant to be there for a short period of time to help you do what you need to do. And then your body should settle back down. But some people, that stress, adrenaline, those hormones, they rush and they lift this person, and they affect their whole body. And then when they're supposed to go back down, they just stay up. And this stress continues in their life. And that's something that it's not meant to do. And so it has a tremendous effect on your body. What are some breeding grounds for stress? When you think about life in general, just the fact that you are here on the face of this earth, that you are going to run into stressful situations. You know, sometimes, you know, as a pastor, I went home one night last week, and I was wiped out. My wife said, you know, are you all right? And I said, I'm just feeling a bit overwhelmed at this point, you know. Just feel overwhelmed, you know, just a lot going on. And so stress comes to all of us. I don't care who you are. You're not going to avoid stress. By the nature of the fact that you are a human being on the face of this earth, that you want to have stress in your life. And then it's compounded by hectic situations, that whenever something happens out of the ordinary, that just adds on to the normal everyday stress that we feel in our lives. And then sometimes we further add to the stress. Oh, you know, we add to the first one, right? Life in general, hectic situations, and then we have self-imposed stress. What is that? When I'm running late to a meeting or for work, right? What happens? There you go. Those hormones kick in. That stress level, it goes to another dimension. You're riding down. That's why, you know, you want to run. You want people to move out of your way. You darting in and out of traffic, running through lights, running through stop signs, you know, doing all kind of illegal stuff. Why? Because you're running late and stress has kicked in. You know, stress also can kick in whenever we have unmet needs. You know, when there's things going on in our life that where needs are not being met, you know, we can have stress. When we are overcommitted, we can have stress in our life. And then, you know, sometimes we just get around people who get on our last nerve. You know, sometimes, man, there are people in our lives that just get on our last nerve. You know, there was a guy one time. He was trying to do some work, and he was getting some opposition from the white community. And he came to a prayer meeting, and he said, pray for me. He said, I'm having a problem dealing with white folks. He said, just pray for me. So he tried to organize this group of black folks to go out and do something. And he tried to organize them for a couple weeks, and he came back a couple weeks later. He said, remember that prayer request I gave y'all a couple weeks ago? They said, yeah. He said, well, double up, because he said, I'm having a problem with black folks now. So people, man, you know, sometimes people just stress you out. And so, you know, you got to be careful, you know, who you hang around. Now, Jesus, how did people stress him? Well, in the Garden of Gethsemane, they stressed him because he knew that he was going to die for people. He knew that the salvation of the world, that your salvation and my salvation depended on him dying on that cross, hanging up there, being ridiculed and mocked, having his beard pulled out, having people spit on him and beat him in his head, having nails driven through his body, having his side being pierced with a spear. He knew that he was dying for the sins of the world. And so this just became a stressful situation in his life. Somebody did a study in 2006, and they identified the top causes for stress. They came up with 55 causes of stress. And they took those 55 causes and they boiled them down to 7. And here are the 7 top causes for stress. The first one is finances. People are stressed out because of financial situations. Somebody put it like this: we spend money we don't have to buy things we don't need to impress people we don't like. And we feel the stress of finances in our life. Either we've lost income, and that has put us in a stressful situation. We've overextended on our credit cards. That has put us in a financial situation. Or we are trying to get more money and make more money, and we feel the stress of trying to get more and build more. You know, there was a song that was written many years ago, and it was by the Temptations, and the title of the song was Keeping Up with the Joneses. And many people are trying to keep up with the Joneses, and in the song the Temptations said, keeping up with the Joneses is going to make your life a mess. Bill collectors, tranquilizers, and getting deeper in debt, you better leave those Joneses alone. You better let them go. Because the Joneses got a new car today. Here's what you should say: hooray for the Joneses. Instead, you worry until your whole head turns gray. You worry about the Joneses. Remember, it's their car and they're the ones that have to pay. So leave those Joneses alone. See, and sometimes the Joneses, they're trying to keep up too. You're trying to keep up with them, they're trying to keep up with somebody else. And so what do? You bring stress and pressure on yourself. Finances. Another cause of stress, the number two cause, they said, was work. And that is people who have a job where maybe the work environment is difficult. Maybe they have been overloaded with responsibilities. They're trying to get promotions. They're trying to climb the ladder. Or they're just having interpersonal relationships with somebody else. And so the workplace can be a place of stress. I hear, you know, as much stress, and I'm going to tell you something. As I said before, you know, there's two people that need to have their head examined. People who want to be president of the United States and people who want to be a pastor. And I was talking to Stephen Cropper, who emceed our Tony Dungy event, and he was telling me that, you know, where places that he goes, that, you know, people think that he actually controls the weather and they get mad at him. I said, well, I'll tell you what, I'm gonna put a third one on that list too. You know, to be a meteorologist, you gotta have your head examined if you wanna do something like that. But when I think about all the stuff that I deal with, and I just like for some of y'all to come hang with me for just a day, and see the stuff that I have to deal with. I still love it. I love it because I love doing this. And I figured, you know, the stuff that's stressful, you know, I'll learn how to deal with that because I love this. This is what I love to do. But you know, I talk to people who hate going to their job. And you know what? And I realize that you have to work and that you have to make a living. I understand that. But I would just, man, if there was a job that I hated to go to, you know, I don't know, man. Just think, because every day is stress. Every day you're going back into that stressful situation. I remember when I was in seminary, And I didn't, you know, I was doing whatever I could to feed my family. I did whatever I could. And one of the things that I did, I worked with this guy, and we put roofs on houses. And there was one time we had to put a roof on a church. I mean, and this thing was, I mean, it was way up there. And every day, man, just driving there, I started getting stressed. You know, just thinking about climbing up that ladder to get to the top of that roof. Man, that thing stressed me out. And I was so glad at the end of the day when I could come down off of that roof. But you know what? I knew in my mind, I knew in my heart, this is not my calling. And I'm not going to be doing this. I'm not going to be doing this forever. I mean, I would hate to think that I would go to work every day dealing with the way I was feeling about climbing up on that roof. And there are people who have jobs and they feel that way every day. Man, that you're wearing yourself out. You know, now, something got to change. Either you need to find a new job, or you need to know how to learn how to find out how to deal with the job you got. So that's now, and the chances are that you need to learn how to deal with the job you got, all right? Because some of us, the prospect of getting another one is not too likely, all right? So that's why you need to listen to this message today. Because you need to stay right where you're at, and you need to learn how to stay. Now, see, if I'd have had to stay on them roofs, I'd have had to find some way. I'd have had to get me some kind of coping mechanism or something to be able to go up on that roof every day. Man, I lay awake at night thinking about, man, I got to climb up on that roof tomorrow. And then, this is no joke, about a week after we were up there putting the shingles on, and this happened when the building collapsed. The whole church collapsed. Now, you know I didn't want to go back up there anymore. So work can be a place of stress for folks. You knew he was going to say this. You knew he was going to say this. Family. Family. You know, all of us got people in our family that are stressors. And you know, we just need to say, look, man, you stress me out. Man, you know what? Every time you come, you bring drama with you. We all got relatives like that. You know, it's like that guy, you know, he was touring a psychological institution. And on the first floor, you know, was like the mild cases. And the further up, you know, the more severe. And, you know, on the first floor, he took them, and there was this lady, and she was in this room, and she said, Pookie, 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 Pookie. And somebody, he said, well, what happened to her? He said, well, she was supposed to marry this man named Pookie, and he left her standing at the altar. So, you know, she just, Pookie. So they kept going, and floor to floor, they got up to the worst place, where people were in straight jackets and bouncing off the walls, going crazy. And there was one that was in there, and they were just bouncing off and saying, Pookie, Pookie, Pookie. And he said, what happened to her? Well, she married Pookie. You know, family, man, family. They can stress you out. And so, you know, sometimes we just need to learn how to deal with family. Because if we don't learn how to deal with them, man, you know, there's going to be constant tension and constant stress in our life. And we're going to end up, you know, with that lady up on the third floor, right? Personal concerns. And these are, you know, things that are out of our control sometimes. You know, maybe our...
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Stressed to Kill. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Stressed to Kill, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Stressed to Kill. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Stressed to Kill. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series, Let's Get Personal About Your Issues, is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877 877- 831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed into storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.